All right, John Mason Brink, Appetite for Construction podcast. I'm flying solo once again. Tim is on the road, so we're gonna wing it tonight. We got a great guest. We saw him recently at the Builders Show in Las Vegas. It's Keith McGilvery. Keith, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
So when we talked about doing this, you said, I'm going to pop your podcast cherry.
That's right. Yeah, you got it.
So this is your very first podcast. I'm honored that you could be on it.
Yeah, I appreciate the invite.
We saw each other recently at the Builder Show in Las Vegas, stumbling on that kind of that promenade between like the Link and the Flamingo. And
yeah,
there you were
back
with
door of the Link.
That's right. I don't know if that's such a, is that bougie? The back door at the Link?
That's
but anyway, we saw you out there and it was super cool to, you know, to see people that you know in the industry and you see on social media and stuff. But now you mentioned that was your first show, your first builder show, right?
Yeah.
Tell me what your impression was of the show and what were you doing there?
First of all, went into it with blinders on. People told me like, oh, you know, this is the show to go to. It's massive. Mm-hmm. To be quite honest, I had no idea what that meant until, mm-hmm. you know, I got off that monorail and I looked down and I go, holy cow, this is where we're going. And yeah, I mean, it was just absolutely, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
I'd never been to anything like that. My first big trade show, I mean, a trade show here in Maine is like, you know.
Yeah.
A quarter of the size of that parking lot.
Yeah.
So I was fortunate enough that the good folks out at Sashco, I'm part of their, they call it the Caulking Fellows. It's an ambassador program.
Okay.
They asked me to come out and hang out at their booth for a couple of days and flew me out there. So
my ignorance, I'm not really familiar with Sashco. What do they do?
So Sashco makes very, very high quality sealants, whether it be caulking or a product in particular that I use in the plumbing world, Lexel. It's a silicone alternative, way superior.
And so when they ask you to come out there, are you in the booth? Are you putting on demos? Are you what exactly are you doing?
So, I mean, it's super organic. They are very chill. Essentially, all they wanted me to do is just come by the booth and hang out that Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And, you know, I brought some swag stuff of my own. And
you interact with like people just walking by or customers coming in.
Exactly. And and they also asked me, they host, BS and Beer. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Okay.
But they had a bunch of those going on and I got the opportunity to sit down and talk with a couple of people. One of them being Kyle Stumpenhorst.
Yeah.
Which was cool for me, you know.
Kyle lives like within an hour of my house in Sycamore, Illinois. It's a small world, you know.
I mean, I pretty much just got to hang out with those guys. I mean,
so a BS and a beer, that's like, you know, another name for lunch and learn, but it's just, you know,
essentially build science and beer.
Build science. Oh, I didn't know BS standard for that. Okay.
Building science. So Sashco is really big into, you know, best practices and kind of continuing education in the build world. They host, it's a nationwide thing. There's actually one in Maine up in Orono, which is a couple hours from me, but, you know, it's like a once a month kind of thing. They have them all over the country and, you know, builders and tradespeople come together and just talk about, you know, either new products or.
So they put out a release that the attendance at that show was the best it's been in the past 15 years. And I'm sure, like you said, when you got off that monorail, you saw like, holy shit, like this is for real. But like, did you get a chance to walk around and just check stuff out?
Yeah. And so, I mean, that first day I put on 10 miles.
What?
Yeah. 10 miles.
I think I put on six, but that 10, like that's
26,000.
What?
Steps. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I am thankful I had some brand new Balance fresh foams. You know, next year I'm definitely planning on going back and I think my vision is going to be more directed you know, I'm going to kind of have a plan. I didn't have a plan at all. I was just walking around trying to see everything.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely
anything blow you away or think, man, this is pretty cool.
You know, I'm not a big Kohler guy.
Okay.
But I will say their display was unreal.
Oh, just the size and yeah.
The size of the display and what they had. I mean, Delta and Brizo wasn't bad either. Don't get me wrong, but I was pretty impressed with that. And, you know, Huberwood, their big setup.
I'm going to go on record here and I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, but we've dealt with Kohler in the past, but I feel like they don't want to reach a contractor level. Do you feel that? I've heard actually people at Kohler say that. And they're more interested in like the, you know, better homes and gardens and the, you know, the house, the, not the housewife, but you know, the person who takes care of the home and that's who their market is.
Yeah. I could agree with that. I mean, you know, honestly, my, you know, love or hate towards Kohler doesn't necessarily go that far. It's more or less just, you know, most of the products that I'm putting in, you know, kind of their bottom line. I just don't like how they go together. I don't like how there's a million plastic pieces.
Yeah. I mean, you got to give them credit, their whole marketing, the bold look of Kohler. I mean, it really turned around their whole business back. I don't know when it was, 70s or late 60s, but I mean, they do a fantastic job. Look at that booth. You know, they know what they're doing, but I've always just heard within the industry that they just don't care about the contractor level. It's more of,
I can see that.
But other than that, any like technological, we saw something that was called the water cube and it was like this unit that makes water out of air. Like,
Did Eric post? I think Eric posted something about that. Yeah. I didn't see that. Honestly, I saw some pretty cool flashing products. To be perfectly honest, I was so overwhelmed. I think the first day, walking around there, that I saw everything, but I saw nothing, if you know what I mean. Like,
you know. Now, do you get a chance to go to other shows like AHR or smaller plumbing shows?
I have not. Next year, AHR is on my radar. I mean, this year, the wet show and AHR were like back to back.
Yeah, same week.
You know, and so that would have been a little tough, but I'm not sure scheduling wise when they are next year, but I definitely am probably going to try to hit up AHR.
Okay. So you're up in Maine. MPS is the name of the company, right?
Correct. Yep.
What does that stand for?
McGilvery's Plumbing Services.
Okay.
Pretty simple, as you can tell. You know, just rolled off the tongue. MPS.
Yep.
Worked for me. So.
And so up in Maine, is it pop or soda? We talked about this, but you say it's.
Yeah, no, it's definitely soda. No, if you said pop around here, they wouldn't know what you were talking about.
talking about your old man or something?
Yeah, if you went to the Cumberland Farms and asked for a pop, they'd look at you like, you know, what's going on?
Anyway, when did you start your business?
So I was running my business for about 7 years, nights and weekends. I worked full time and was just trying to grow and then, you know, it reached the point where I was just getting so busy with my business that it made sense to pull the trigger. And that was about, 3 months before COVID happened. So that was kind of a
good timing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, when that whole thing kind of exploded, when the Venice outbreak happened and, you know, everybody thought the world was ending, I was like, man, you know, this is not a good time to be 3 months into self-employment, but I don't know if I missed more than a couple of days. I mean, it just,
well, I was going to say, I think that was probably a benefit to the essential guys out there, the people that were.
Yeah. I mean, it was like now all of a sudden everybody is home.
Yep.
They're looking, they're listening to that shower head dripping on the shower pan and they're like, you know, we got to get it fixed. And so service, I do mostly service and remodels and it just, it exploded.
So a couple of years ago, we did a spotlight on you on Mechanical Hub. Yeah. And I just went back to kind of refresh some stuff in my mind about you and what you've done. But interestingly, you started working at the Navy. Is that right?
No. So in Maine, there's a shipbuilding facility right. called Bath Iron Works.
Okay. I'm not saying you were in the Navy, but you worked on ships right. that were so in the
we
Navy.
We worked on, we built naval destroyers and, yes. My job there, I was a pipe fitter and mm-hmm. that evolved into pipe testing. So mm-hmm. essentially the construction guys would build, you know, whatever system it may be. It could have been, you know, some kind of fire suppression system,
yep.
all the way up to the hydraulic systems that, controlled the louver doors on the VLS, the missile silos. You know, I mean, the piping systems on those ships are incredible.
Yeah.
And essentially, I would test them and meet with the Navy, sell a test to the Navy, and they'd give their stamp of approval, and we'd move on.
How did you get started with that?
It's one of those places. Maine is pretty tight knit, and mm-hmm. there's only honestly a handful of, you know, those jobs where it's like in my area. I would say 6 out of 10 people either work for the shipyard or their family members work for the shipyard. So it's just kind of one of those things, you know. It's a lot of people graduate and they go work at Bath Iron Works, and it's.
So was it a cool job? Was it hard work? Was it both? Was it?
It's a great place to work if you want to work for somebody. I will say that they have, you know, the pay is great. The benefits are great. The hours are great. You know, 7 to 3:30 Monday through Friday. That's it. Opportunity for overtime. You can grow there, but you know, for me personally, I kind of felt like I was capped out. You know, I had reached an area of the pay scale where you know, I was waiting for a contract basically to get any more money, and it just I felt like I was kind of extinguished. You know, I just couldn't grow. So
yeah, you felt like you could do more, and
yeah, right. Yeah.
So from there, you went to do what? This Appetite for Construction podcast is brought to you in part by PERC, the Propane Education and Research Council. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially construction pros. It's a single clean energy source that can meet your project's performance, safety, and resilience goals while maintaining efficiency and lowering costs. See how propane can help meet your project's needs by visiting propane.com now. Propane, it's the energy for everyone.
So, while I was there, I was actually running my business nights.
Oh, you were? Okay. That's right.
Yep. Yeah. So I just went right from there, full swing into self-employment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been, a little over 3 years now, and still just my phone doesn't stop ringing. It's probably went off a few times, honestly, since we've been sitting down.
How do you manage? Are you just a one-man crew? Or are you what?
How do you
manage that?
Yeah, I am. I'm a one-man shop. I'm the office lady. I'm the paperwork boy. I'm the installer, you know, so it's, you know, it's tough at times, especially like coming off of vacation week last week. You know, I neglected my phone quite a bit last week, so I'm playing catch up this week. And,
so, I mean, you really could work as much as you wanted, really, you know?
Yeah, no, I could work, you know, literally 14 hours a day, 7 days a week if I wanted to. And that was tough for me at first. I definitely had to set some strict boundaries because, you know, I didn't leave like a 40-hour a week, good paying, cushy job to work 100 hours a week just to, you know.
Yeah.
So it's tough for sure. One of the biggest things that I did was I hired a bookkeeper.
Okay.
And she does all my like tax prep and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's definitely saved a lot of time.
I'm just looking at this spotlight. You had mentioned that it wasn't the work, it was the time that was.
Yeah. I mean, important. So my biggest motivation for self-employment wasn't money. It was 100% more time. Mm-hmm. This has provided me the flexibility to put my kid on the bus, you know, pick her up from school or, you know,
well, that's what I was just going to ask. You have a family, do you have kids? Yeah.
So I've got a daughter. She's 7. And like I said, you know, I wanted to be that dad that could go on every field trip, and coach and do all these things. And this has definitely provided that for me. So the flexibility is great, you know, but it's a double-edged sword for sure, because you got to stay disciplined and, get some stuff done.
Let's switch over to social media. I know there's some discussions going on about social media and influencing and things like that, but I mean, I've got to imagine that it's been a huge benefit for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I'm a very small account in the Instagram world, but yeah, just getting glimpses, especially at the IBS show, you know, getting to hang out with some of these guys that are making a living practically through social media. I mean, they still have jobs, but mm-hmm. It was super inspiring. And it's just crazy to me that it's even a thing, right? Like you can post, somebody is watching my plumbing videos and thinks it's yeah. worth it to send me to Vegas to be at their booth. You know, it's so bizarre to me.
Yeah. I was going to ask you. So they reached out to you because they saw, you know, you do good work. They saw something and they're like, hey man, we want you to come out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I've been with Sashco for, geez, I'd say about a year now, not quite a year, but, when they onboarded me into the program, they actually sent me out to Denver to their facility and I got to hang out there and do some training there. And,
yeah.
And so that was kind of my first, I guess, you know, kind of ambassador type program that I was in through social media. And yeah, it was just so cool to meet some of these guys, especially a lot of the Odie guys, mm-hmm. you know, and just talk yep. to them. And I was fortunate that I was hanging out with Matt Brading, Texas.EdgeInspect. I don't know if you follow him.
Or yeah. Not. Well, I yeah. met him there.
Yeah, yeah. He kind of showed me the ropes, you know, and it was so cool to watch him interact with people and use his channel to, you know, leverage some deals and start some conversations. So
a friend on social media I've gotten to know pretty well is, you know, Danny Gronendike. You know,
Danny G.
Always says good things about you. He says you always, you know, you keep in contact. How did that come about?
So, you know, I honestly, I can't recall the first time we talked. I mean, I got to assume that it was just, you know, something through Instagram and it just kind of developed. And, I mean, now it's at the point where a couple of times a month, you know, I'll see a FaceTime come through of Danny G and we were kind of in similar positions before he hired Mason, you know, he was on his own and mm-hmm. so we'd bounce ideas back and forth and, yeah, you know, I can't remember how we met initially, but it's definitely mm-hmm. grown into a pretty cool friendship, and I have not actually met him yet.
Oh, really? Okay.
In person, but that's coming.
I'm probably certain if you go to the Wet Show, he would be there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, for sure.
That's like in his backyard. So.
Right. Yeah. No, I'll have to, if I go out to that, I'll have to tell him to make up the spare room. I'll stay at his place.
Yeah. So what's next for you? Just business as usual? I mean, obviously you got back from a trade show, so you got stuff to catch up on. But like, you know, 5 years, what do you see doing?
You know, that's tough. I mean, I would really honestly love to be able to grow to a position where I could do some more traveling.
Mm-hmm. How about hiring a guy or a girl?
You know, that's another thing. You know, right now I am really, really enjoying the flexibility of not having that. Having said that, it also really stinks when I'm not working, you know, MPS is not working. So, it's tough. You know, I think until my daughter gets a little older, I'm really enjoying the flexibility and the time that I can spend now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see myself having two or three guys or girls down the road, but right now I really enjoy working alone and I enjoy the flexibility. So.
So what about, you know, when you said you have that free time and you're spending time with your daughter and coaching, what do you like to do? What hobbies do you like to?
So I'm a big time snowmobiler.
Really?
I get a camp in Northern Maine and I mean,
this, you know what they call them around here?
Snow machines.
Well, sleds.
Sleds, yeah. Yeah.
Snow machines, that's right.
Yeah, snow machines. I guess that's probably more out west, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoy that. Like I said, I get a camp in Northern Maine and I try to get up there every weekend I can. I mean, mm-hmm. primarily every weekend in the wintertime, but
Now, where in Maine are you?
So I'm in Gardner, which is right next to Augusta, about 10 minutes from Augusta. So kind of central Maine.
I'm sure it's beautiful there, right? I mean,
How
far are you from the coast?
Oh, I can be at like Popham Beach right on the coast in, I don't know, 35 minutes or so.
Dang, bro.
So, you know, it's funny that people that aren't from Maine, that's the first thing they asked, right? Like, you know, how close are you to the coast? And and living here, I mean, the coast is nice, don't get me wrong, but I'd rather go inland and you know, be up in the mountains.
So I had mentioned to you off air that I spent some time in upstate New York. It was called Saratoga Springs, about a half an hour north of Albany. And I did take one trip by myself up into Maine just to check it out.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And it was like the remnants of a hurricane we're going through. So it was the most rain I've ever witnessed, you know, driving through a rainstorm. And
yeah,
but it was cool. The food and just everything about the state is just.
Yeah. We've got some pretty cool spots. I mean, you know, if you ever had the chance to hang out down in the Old Port, in South Portland, Maine, it's like the microbrew beer capital of the world.
Yeah.
Between that and little restaurants, I mean, they're everywhere.
And the weather right now, how is that? I mean, has it been unseasonably warm this year?
Yeah, this year has sucked for snowmobile, and I can tell you that much. Typically right now, we've got snow on the ground, you know. Right now, as I look out the window, it's 41 and raining, you know. No snow on the ground. It's like an early spring. Everything is brown and muddy. But typically the snow on the ground still, you know, spring's pushed off a little bit, but came a little early this year.
So what'd you think of the first podcast? I see you even bought a mic for it.
yeah. You know, hey, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it, right? But I feel, like I said, I feel a little naked. I got no headphones on. So, you know, we might have to fix that.
You know, what is strange for me is that I do have headphones and I have a mic, but I can't get my computer, my desktop mic to go off, and there's no interference or no, you know, you can't tell, but it's strange.
Yeah.
So if I were to turn off my mic, you still could hear me on my.
Okay. So I don't even know if maybe I'm running two mics. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. I mean,
I don't know. See?
Yeah.
You got to live and learn, I guess.
It's all new to me, let me tell you.
Yeah, I know. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time. It was cool to see you guys. Like I said, we're kind of walking around. I think we just had Tim and I had spent $70 on two drinks. Well,
yeah. So actually, you know, what's funny is I kind of recognized you from afar, right? I mean, I haven't met you in person, but I've seen you on social. And, you know, I looked at Matt and I said, geez, I think that's John.
Yeah.
And you were talking, I can't remember, you were with some of the Build Show guys, maybe.
Yeah, Mark. Mark,
that you were talking to Mark, and I was like, I'm not going to go bother him right now. And Matt was like, dude, if you recognize him, go talk to him right now.
Yeah,
you got to. And that was kind of my first lesson of, you know, seize the opportunity. And it was cool. We, you know, talked. And then next thing I know, I'm having a drink with you. So,
yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. I'm super excited to meet you in person. You know, I'm just happy for your success. I'm happy that, you know, you got to witness that trade show, walk around, be a part of it, be a part of the Sashco booth. That was awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't wait to do it again. I'm definitely going to be there next year. So.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for jumping on. Appreciate you being a guest, brother.